Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
We are back into the groove. Welcome to episode 134 of We Are Going Up. It's our second pre-season special. I'm Mark Crossley and through the glass again, David Cameron Walker is alongside me.
Hello.
How you feeling, mate?
Good. Tired.
Yeah, you are tired. It's been a long day. I was at Millwall this morning. You were up very early this morning. Lots of stuff to be prepped for these shows. But I've certainly enjoyed the first one. So hopefully more of the same today.
Yes.
What do you reckon?
Bring it on.
League One is looking, as ever, very, very difficult to call. But we're going to try and do just that. And helping us do it on this show, Mark O'Hare will return, our Football League betting expert. So Mark will be on a little bit later. And also, the man who has written the Two Unfortunates League One preview, but unfortunately can't write about his own side, Carlisle, because they're down in League Two now. John McGee, editor of the Carlisle website, Bring Me the Head of Keith Minchett, will be on a little bit later to preview the season. And it's not just that, because you were also at Boreham Wood, weren't you, last week for Watford against Coventry
City.
And what's the score?
1-0 to the Sky Blues.
1-0 to the Sky Blues. So can Coventry, who are finally starting a season on 0 points, put behind them the pain of the last few years, although they are still going to be playing at Sixfields, aren't they? It certainly looks that way at the minute. You caught up with a couple of away fans while you were there, so we'll hear from them a little bit later on. But we are going to start with, one of the bookies' favourites to go up to the Championship this season. They've been down in League One for 3 years now. They've not managed to get out, but it was a very encouraging second half of the season last year, because Sheffield United reached the FA Cup semi-final when they lost to Hull City, and they also finished the season in some style after being in relegation difficulty when Nigel Clough took over from David Weir. So what does this season hold for the Blades? Let's speak to a man who should hopefully be able to help us out on this topic. It is James Shield, who is the Sheffield United writer, Sheffield United correspondent for The Star in Sheffield. And James, after that amazing second half of last season, I imagine that expectations must be pretty high right now.
Yes, they certainly are. I mean, it was a season of contrasts last season. It was an absolutely abysmal start under Nigel's predecessor, David Weir, which did come as a surprise because, you know, I think a lot of the ideas that David wanted to implement were quite fresh. They were new. They were exciting, and there was sort of really genuine high hopes that it would be a really productive season. Unfortunately, he paid the price for some bad results in October. And then, to be fair, Nigel, he didn't get off to the greatest of starts. It wasn't as if it was an instant sort of transition, but behind the scenes he was putting a lot of good principles in. He was putting a structure in place, and I think you can see, you know, the difference in fortunes that the club experienced by the fact, I think if I remember rightly, they only won one of their opening 10 fixtures in League One last season, but they only lost one of their final 10, and of course on the back of that as well, they reached the semi-finals of the FA Cup.
James, for the last couple of seasons, Sheffield United have been the bookies' favourites, there or thereabouts, to be promoted. Everyone, you read all the season previews, you hear all the pundits saying who they think is going to win League One, almost by default it says Sheffield United, perhaps without always really knowing just some of the difficulties that have faced the club financially over the last couple of seasons, adjusting to life in League One.
You've hit the nail on the head.
It's the same again this season, though, isn't it?
When the bookmakers sort of have set their odds, or people have obviously laid bets on who's going to do well in League One. I think they've probably been sort of tempted by the name and the fact that, you know, it wasn't so long ago, 2006, 2007, that the club is in the Premier League. It's been quite a sort of well-trodden path, hasn't it, down through the divisions. Teams like Nottingham Forest, have done it. Manchester City have done it. Leeds United have done it, of course. And it's not always been easy for them to get out, but you're right, there was a huge sort of financial restructuring was going on behind the scenes. You know, they obviously lost their parachute payments. They didn't get out of the Championship in time. Then, you know, they were laden with a very large wage bill. There was no sort of consistency to that wage bill at all at the time. And I think that was one of the things that possibly hampered some of the managers that had, that have sort of been in charge before Nigel during the intervening years between the Premier League and the slide into League One, is that there's never been any real sort of solidity to the club. I mean, they have come close on a number of occasions, and I've got to say, football isn't an exact science, unfortunately, and sometimes luck, has not sort of favoured Sheffield United. We obviously all remember the 2012 playoff final against Huddersfield when it went down to
a game that never ended.
Exactly. It was. I mean, the way it was going that afternoon, I wouldn't have been surprised if I'd have still been sat there now. It really did just go on and on and on, and of course down to the goalkeepers, Steve Simonson missing out. They got into there the year before last, and they only just missed out this season. But I think this is one of the reasons why they're being sort of tipped this year, and why people are probably keeping faith with them, is that momentum that they built up under Nigel towards the end of last season. And there's been a lot of good work going on in the transfer market. But I think one of the interesting things that, or certainly is going to sort of intrigue me, is to see whether they can actually carry that momentum on into the new season, because there's been a big turnover of players. There's been a lot of players leave. Some were allowed to leave. Harry Maguire, of course, was bought by Hull City. And the whole dynamic of that size has changed. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see them get off to a slowish start, or perhaps, you know, lose the odd game or drop points here and there where you might not expect it. But I think this might be a season where they actually grow as the season goes on. And in the last couple of years when they've been in League One, it's always been the other way around. They've always had a very strong start and then gone into the playoffs, you know, almost on sort of a downward curve rather than an upward trend.
How much of a loss will Harry Maguire be? He's a player that we've heard a lot about in the last few years. He's finally got his big move up to a Premier League club from League One, no less, and £2.5 million, roughly the fee. But how much will he be missed on the pitch?
I think he'll be missed an awful lot. I mean, this is one of the interesting things that certainly under Nigel Clough, Sheffield United last season, they didn't score an awful lot of goals. I think they had I think there was only three other teams in the division that had a worse sort of goals scored per game ratio than them. And all of that success was really built on a solid back four. They kept 17 clean sheets in the league. They had a tremendous run of clean sheets from February onwards. And that was really what sort of, you know, propelled them up to from 21st to 7th in the table and really got them into contention. That's what all of those results were built on. And Harry was obviously an integral part of that. You've seen in pre-season, actually, they've brought in two very good centre-halves, Andy Butler, and at the opposite end of the spectrum, Harrison McGahee from Blackpool. That will go to a tribunal very soon. But you've seen they've started to concede a few goals from set pieces that, yes, I know it's only pre-season, but it's not entirely irrelevant. You can sort of pick up some clues, can't you, about what a manager would like to do and where the, you know, possible strengths and weaknesses of a team will be. So while they've rectified their attack and they've obviously got a lot more strength going forward now, I think Harry, you know, certainly will be missed. He's a very capable player. That's underlined by the fact that, you know, a Premier League club and Wolverhampton Wanderers, of course, were interested in him for a long time. But, you know, the very fact that Steve Bruce has given him a chance, that he felt he was worth investing £2.5 million in, which is a lot of money for a League One defender. Harry's not the finished article yet. He's still a player with an awful lot of potential, but certainly in League One, he will be he'll be a big, big miss for that team.
Well, from an outsider's point of view, just looking at Sheffield United, as we have done on the show in the last couple of years, it's always been that lack of a goal scorer ever since, obviously, what happened to Ched Evans.
Yes.
And obviously, there's been a big bit of movement in that area. Nigel Clough has obviously identified it as a bit of an issue, and he's brought in a player who was named the Scottish Player of the Year just a couple of years ago in a deal this week, Michael Higden. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, earlier on in the season, Nigel brought in another player from Scotland. He's actually a Scottish player rather than a Liverpudlian who's been in Scotland and then Holland, in Mark McNulty, a young, you know, looks quite an exciting young prospect. You know, and I dare say that he will obviously look to improve as the season goes on. But all the way through, sort of Nigel's made it quite plain that he wants a centre-forward who's got some physical presence, you know, who can sort of link other players up. And that was interesting. That was why Jose Baxter, towards the end of last season, who's not what you would call an out-and-out centre-forward, but was actually utilising that position, because although he wasn't the biggest, you know, and his goal-scoring record is not phenomenal, they felt that he was the best equipped to be able to bring others into play, to sort of hold the ball up, to be able to build moves. And that's something that they'll look for Michael Higden to do as well. I think this one actually could be a really, really good buy for them, because, as you correctly said, one of the things where they've always struggled, certainly after they lost Ched Evans, is that goal scorer. They've always, you know, known that the defence is under an awful lot of pressure, because if they concede a goal or two, they may well struggle to get back into a game. But I think the most sort of intriguing thing for me is the fact that Michael, not only has he got a real physical presence, but he's also a very technical player too. I think the fact that he scored 14 goals last season for NEC in Holland. They were relegated, so he obviously didn't have a huge amount of support around him, but it's a very, very technical league, so he can obviously sort of handle that side of the game. That will appeal to Nigel Clough. And they've got two very big, very, very strong wingers in the Sheffield United side, again, in Jamie Murphy and Ryan Flynn. They put an awful lot of crosses into the box. Craig Alcock, another player who they've brought in over the summer, is another fullback who likes to get forward and put crosses into the box. And although Michael Higden scores all sorts of goals, I think he could really potentially enjoy playing alongside them. And of course, the interesting thing is he had a very, very good partnership with Jamie Murphy at Motherwell when he won that Scottish Player of the Year title. But this is something that Nigel, and also a lot of his predecessors, have been searching for. They've not been able to do it up until now for various different reasons, one of which was obviously a lack of funding while that restructuring was going on. They're on a more sound financial footing now. They haven't spent an absolute fortune on Michael Higden, but I think, as you've seen all the way through, and the one common thread that you can tie all of these players together that have come in, the 10 players, the 9 new faces that have been signed during the summer, is that they might not be stellar names, but they're all what you would call a proper footballer, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of them there have got experience of that division, and they're all good, solid pros, low maintenance type players, which is the type of person that Nigel Clough likes.
It was a remarkable season, really, in League One last year, with Brentford and Wolves going up with such a huge points total, Leyton Orient having a fantastic season and missing out of the death in the playoffs, Rotherham coming on really strong at the end and getting that fantastic win at Wembley. There was a lot of good, you know, Preston had a fantastic season, really fantastic season, and, you know, came away empty-handed at the end of the day. And how do you think it will shape up this season? Do you see it being as competitive at the top, or do you think it's a bit more open?
I must admit, I think it'll be even more competitive this year, just for the fact that I don't see sort of two standout teams, or certainly at the start of last season, one standout team that we had in Wolverhampton Wanderers last year. I think there's some very good sides in that division. I think there's some teams that have bought very well during the close season. So I think this will be just as tight, if not more tight, than last season. I think there's three or four teams that probably will go into the season thinking they've got genuine aspirations of finishing inside the top two. I think there's probably 7, 8, 9, possibly even 10 who'll be looking at you know, thinking, you know, we've got a real shout here of qualifying for the playoffs and then possibly take things from there. But this is a horrendous division, isn't it, to call this? I mean, it always surprises me that people actually want to put money on what goes on in League One. The bookies must make an absolute fortune out of this division, because it's so unpredictable, and the margins are just so, so slim. And I think that's what makes this one so difficult to call. Some very organised sides. There's actually some very good players now filtering down into League One. It's not quite sort of the muck and nettles type football that we were, you know, possibly used to, you know, three, even only 4 years ago. There's, you know, I mean, Sheffield United, for example, there's someone like Chris Basham's ready to step down and play in there. Craig Alcock, again, who I mentioned earlier, who's got a taste of the Championship. James Wallace, who, yes, okay, was in League One, but obviously did have offers again from the Championship. They're very, very technical players. So this is where I think it's certainly from a Sheffield United perspective, it is going to be fascinating, because although they've maybe lost a little bit of that immediate defensive stability, the dynamic of the side has changed, and they do look a much more potent attacking threat. And this is what I don't think you can ever be confident about League One, but certainly where I think Sheffield United will have some belief in their chances this year is the fact that there are more goals, or on paper at least, there are more goals in that squad. And I think that's really what makes the difference in this division.
Well, James, enjoy the season. I imagine it's never a dull job covering Sheffield United.
No, never is. No.
Thanks very much for speaking to us. Hopefully we'll catch up with you later in the season. That is James Shield, who is the Sheffield United correspondent and football writer for The Star in Sheffield. And as James said, it is sort of an impossible job, but somehow next we're going to try and make sense of what's about to happen in League One this season.
We are going up's League One preview. We've got the Football League covered.
Okay, so before we're joined by John and by Mark, last week, as we mentioned at the top of the show, you went down to Boreham Wood to watch Watford in a bit of pre-season action. Decent turnout?
Yeah, it wasn't bad, actually. They just built a new stand at Boreham Wood, paid for by Arsenal, because Arsenal ladies play there.
Okay.
In the FA Women's Super League, I believe it's called. So it was quite a reasonable attendance on a nice summer's eve from the home supporters, and an opportunity for some southern-based Coventry fans, or Coventry fans that don't like going to Sixfields to see their team.
Yeah, just a couple of days to go until the season starts. It looks like another year away from the Rico for Coventry, unless something dramatic has happened since the moment I said this. So let's hear a couple of Cov fans who spoke to Dave in the stands at Boreham Wood last week.
So, I mean, I suppose a place to start is you're 1-0 up against Watford. How's pre-season been so far, and kind of what are your thoughts ahead of the season at the moment?
I think we need two more strikers before we can start getting ahead of ourselves. I think we've got a good performance in tonight, but we struggled a bit last season when our strikers were injured, and I think that's the void we need to fill. But it looks positive. It looks, seeing what's happened, the players we've lost, it looks pretty decent.
It's obviously the main player you've lost, Callum Wilson. He scored a lot of goals for you last season. He's gone up to Bournemouth. Marcus Tudgate signed, scored a goal tonight against Watford, but you've mentioned there you need more firepower. I mean, how important is it to replace the goals that Wilson's lost?
It's extremely important, but I think what the sort of football Presley enjoys and brings about the club is it lends itself to goals. So if we can get the players to fit in, I think two goals score a few, but we do need a quicker striker. So although it'd be hard to replace Wilson, we need to find a striker with a lot of pace, really. We can at least accommodate that. Like, he can do a good job. He means come from his league above, so you can.
And I suppose the challenge in terms of finding players, you bought a few, I mean, with experience, Raider Johnson being one, and Pugh as well from Leeds. But how difficult must it be for Presley to attract decent players to the club when there's always the question marks hanging over the club with the ground and the financial situation?
It's going to watch a home game with 1,700 fans. It's not very attractive, yeah. Is it?
Have you been to many games at Northampton?
I've been to a few at Sixfields. It's just go and support the team and the manager, but it's not unlike the atmosphere here tonight. It's a bit like a training ground game, really. And it's, you know, I just feel for the players and the manager, really. The manager's doing a really good job and he's getting the best out of players, but we need to be back at the Rico. It's a joke. Yeah.
And we lost players like Frank Musa because he didn't want to play at the Sixfield. He didn't want to play at Sixfield. It's completely understandable because, you know, he's a class player. He's a player that should have been playing at the division above at least. And you can completely respect that because they do deserve more, really, the players. fans, and the fans do as well, obviously.
And I mean, that's obviously the thing that's constantly hanging over the club, the uncertainty off the pitch, you know, the fact that you've had to move to Northampton to play football, you know, there's demonstrations from the fans, you're not getting many fans going there, understandably. I mean, how far away do you think you are from resolving that situation and getting back to Coventry?
There's been rumours all summer, hasn't there? Yeah. There's been comments been made that might lead you to think that perhaps we are going back, but I read in the news today that we spent a load of money on Northampton's pitch, the actual surface, so I would have thought they wouldn't be doing that if they're going back to the Rico. To me, it just sums up that modern club owners don't understand the passion and emotion that goes with lifelong support of a club. Whatever club it is, it doesn't really matter. You have an emotional link to it, and they just don't understand it. They see it as a commodity, and it's more than that.
It means more to a club like Coventry as well, because it's a big city in a growing part of the country. So it's missing a huge hole of the city. It's such a shame. But I honestly couldn't tell you if we're going to get back or whatever, because it just changes every week. When we were here, that, you know, it's almost a done deal going back, and then next week it's, well, we don't want to pay those tenants. And I think the biggest giveaway is there hasn't been any confirmed deals of a new ground being built, and it just seems silly to have a ground like the Rico that empty, even if we put in like 9,000-10,000 fans. So I'd imagine something's gone behind the scenes, but there just seems to be two very stubborn parties that are willing to give ground. So it's hard to tell, really. It's hard to call.
Just one on Stephen Pressley. You mentioned that, you know, you thought he's done a very good job. He's quite highly thought of. I've seen him linked with a few other jobs here and there when they've come up, and I don't suppose you could blame him, like the players, for leaving if an offer comes in. I mean, do you think he'll be around at Coventry for a long time, or
if we don't come back? I think he will stay for the season. I think this club's got, and this sort of setup's only got another season left in it, because I think, like you said, I think even managers like Presley will tire the situation. But Presley has a lot of vision for me. He's the manager we've had in the most recent years with the most vision, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's willing to establish something rather than just do it as a bit part job. Someone like Mark Robbins did a decent job, but he was only there for the time being. I mean, he probably has heart set elsewhere. But I honestly think he's got a desire to take this club places. He's constantly banging on about the club's DNA and sort of things he sort of probably wants to establish. And he's done a good go at it. And I just think that he's honest when he comes of it.
I think he's a loyal and decent man, and he's a very good football
manager.
He's a very good manager. Yeah, and I hope we can keep hold of him and he can move on with the club and get, you know.
I mean, just an example, he clearly has an emotional attachment, because when Leon Clark left, you could tell he was angry and upset for the players and the situation it was, because he knew I think he's the manager. As long as you give it your all, he's willing to give us back. I think that's the case. As long as we keep playing football like we have been playing, he'll stay as long as that. But then at the same time, I don't think that can last the season, because he will tire the situation.
And then finally, I guess a little prediction for the season. Where do you think in 9 months' time Coventry will be?
Fifth.
Confident?
Yeah. Fourth.
Is that a little bit optimistic, do you reckon, fifth and fourth?
Well, I like the look of them. From what I saw on the pitch, obviously they got the result, but first half especially, they played some really nice football. I mean, they don't have the biggest squad, and obviously there's always going to be difficulties attracting players to, and you said the Rico there, to 6 years as it is. Yeah, exactly. And as you heard there, I think they need another striker to go alongside Marcus Tudgay. But, you know, I like the signing of Reader Johnson. He looked good at the back. He was got some good experience. He played in the Championship for a few years with Sheffield Wednesday. He's very big, commanding presence. They still got Andy Webster there. He was barking out. At one point, he absolutely screamed at the keeper for not coming for a ball when he should have.
Just like you doing five a side.
Yeah, well, times a million. And I do like the manager as well, Pressley. I think Stephen Pressley's done a really good job there. It's going to be tough for them, I think, because of the difficulties off the pitch and the distractions. But they seem to be wanting to play football the right way. I don't know if they'll get the top six, but I think they'll be top half.
Okay, was that text of pizza we've ordered, by the way?
I wish.
Right, let's talk about League One more generally then. James said earlier, it's so unpredictable. And where do you start? Well, that is the challenge facing John McGee from The Two Unfortunates, editor of the Carlisle United website, Bring Me the Head of Keith Mincher, who's written The Two Unfortunates League One preview. And Mark O'Hare, who was on with us yesterday talking some League Two odds, is also back on the line. So, John, I'll come to you first. You've written the preview. Did you find it difficult to pick the sides that are going to be right at the top of League One this season?
No, I don't think I did, actually. When I looked at the league, the 24 teams, at the back end of last week when I was starting to pull the preview together, I thought it would be. Given last season, it was quite close at the top and quite close at the bottom. I thought initially that there might be, you know, 10 to a dozen teams who were there or thereabouts. But the more research I did, the more I thought about the way that the end of last season had ended, I could see it splitting quite comfortably into three distinct groups. A group of sides who were going to be there near the top, a group of sides who really do look like they're going to struggle. I think there's going to be one or two cut adrift quite early on who will struggle throughout the season. And then a parcel of sides in the middle who are you sort of also runs, who will trouble neither the scorers at the top nor the people with the trapdoor at the bottom. The thing about this league this year is it's all the obvious sides, which in some respects is slightly unfortunate because you want to see a side coming up on the rails. But the sides that have done that in the past, the likes of Leyton Orient and so on, they've consolidated really well over the last couple of seasons, and they've become, if you will, the League One big boys already. And that seems to look like it's going to carry on over the course of the next season.
Well, I guess we've got to get to name some names, haven't we? Who's going to be in that top group?
In that top group, I would say the sides who were there last year but who failed to come through the playoffs, so Preston, obviously, they seem to have consolidated the side. They've not made a great number of signings, but those that they have seem to be of pretty high quality. Callum Woods and Andy Little will certainly add to that squad. And they've got Joe Garner and Paul Gallagher still up front, likely to knock in between 30 and 40 goals between them. When you add Little to that, who's got a really excellent goal scoring record in the Scottish League, then things look really bright for them. The cloud of the betting scandal that was there with Preston seems to have, if not entirely gone away, certainly sort of dissipated a little into the background. So that should allow them to attack the season with in the way that they ended the last one. Next to Preston, you've then got Peterborough, who, again, it's been a relatively quiet summer for them, but they've got so much quality in their squad already. Bringing Zakwani back obviously adds a little bit of resolution at the back, where they shipped an awful lot of goals last season, as is Peterborough's manner. Again, you can't look past them being in and around the top handful of teams. And similarly, Leyton Orient, who without question have had certainly the most showbiz summer in League One with the takeover from Mr. Bichetti, and also with the signings that they've made, who really on paper look a class apart from anything that anybody else has been able to bring in. Beyond those three, who were obviously all in the playoffs last season, the two that really stand out are sort of the two who were the fallen giants at the start of last season, which is Sheffield United and Bristol City. Both of them seem to have solid managers, which I can't believe I'm quite saying that about Steve Cotterill, but he seems to have got them to massively turn the corner, and also to play to their strengths, which hasn't always been Cotterill's approach to management. Baldock and J. Emmanuel Thomas is by far and away the best forward line in this league by quite some distance. That's been augmented with the most Steve Cotterill player of all time, 34-year-old Aaron Wilbraham. But, you know, he's going to score goals if and when Baldock leaves, or if they need to bring him in. And they've brought in really excellent players throughout the pitch. Luke Freeman is an outstanding League One player. Corey Smith, really, really handy player as well. So that they look like, you know, last season's blip at the start of the season should be just that, and they should be there or thereabouts. Sheffield United, again, have signed really good quality League One players like Craig Alcock and Michael Higden, who I expect to score a lot of goals at this level. And, of course, they've got the Nigel Clough factor. He is in my mind, by far and away the best manager in League One, and I would very much expect them to be your top, well, that's five, so that'd be the top five, and you know, beyond that, you're kind of looking at jokers, really.
Interesting, Mark. Is that where the bookies have got their money this season?
Yeah, pretty much. I can't disagree with any of that. When you look at the over the last 10 years, the average price of a League One winner is 21-1, but we had a few big price winners about 7, 8, 9 years ago. Over the last 7 years, it's 9-1, and Preston, I think, fit that mould perfectly. There's not really too much to add to what's already been said. Sheffield United are the favourites at 11-2. I think they're a little bit short in betting terms. Wolves, the only favourites in the last 19 seasons to actually win the title. Ooh. But on the other hand, the favourites have been promoted in 5 of the last 7 seasons, so there's plenty on Sheffield United's side there too. But yeah, I can't really add a lot, to be honest, because they're the big five in the betting terms, and if you're looking elsewhere, good luck to you, to be honest.
Okay, down at the bottom then, maybe?
Relegation-wise, I think there's one team that stands out on everyone's list at the moment. It's Crewe. As short as 8-5 for relegation. Top scorer Chuck Siniki's gone back to Arsenal. You know, Max Clayton's leaving. Byron Moore, Paul Pogba.
they wish.
But Mark Ellis, he's also gone. You know, that defence isn't going to get any better, and their main sort of attacking threats have left as well. I think Crewe are really going to struggle. As much as I love Colchester and Joe Dunn as well, I think they're in for another tough season. The budget's been cut again. I will be rooting for them, but you sort of look at that team and they're a bit top heavy. I think if they keep all their forward players fit, like Craig Eastman, Sanchez Watt, Freddie Sears, Jabba Abere, they could stay up, but I think they're in for a tough season. But Crawley as well, I think Crawley the one who stands out for me in betting terms at 4-1. John Gregory, he's pretty much ripped up that squad, hasn't he?
And I saw that, yeah.
Again. Huge overhaul. They lacked a cutting edge last season, only scored 48 goals, but Izar McLeod's come in, Jimmy Smith, Dean Leacock, you know, they're the headline acts, and I think if they're your headline acts, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. Over 15 new players built in, a huge rebuilding job. You know, I've never really fancied John Gregory as a manager, and I think he's got a massive task in his hands.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree there. But let's have a look now at some of the teams that might be somewhere in the middle, and maybe if there is indeed one playoff spot up for grabs, some of the teams I think might potentially be able to get it. Two of the teams that are alphabetically in the middle of the league as we stand, MK Dons and Notts County. I think potentially they could both have decent seasons. I quite like the players that MK Dons have brought in. Carl McFadden, I've heard good things about him at Crawley over the last few years. Danny Green from Charlton. Tom Hitchcock, young striker on loan they brought him in from QPR. He's been out on loan to a few clubs in the last few seasons, Rotherham being one of them last year. And Will Grigg, who didn't have a good time of it when he went to Brentford from Walsall, but two seasons ago with Walsall, scored a lot of goals. So I like those signings for MK Dons. And Notts County have gone the other way, brought in a lot of experience. Roy Carroll, fresh off 3 title-winning seasons in Greece with Olympiakos.
Champions, he's still going.
Champions League football. Yeah, they've got Alan Smith, who will bring some experience there.
Is he still going?
Hayden Mullins has confirmed his loan deal last season, has now become a permanent. Liam Noble from Carlisle. John, you can tell us all about him, I'm sure. And and the one that stands out to me is Eli Ismaili, who we saw last season on loan at Burton, on loan again here from Wolves. So I think an interesting crop of players have been brought into those two clubs.
Yeah, I'll start with Notts County. I think because it's easy for me to talk about them because of the number of Carlisle connections there. So I'm quite surprised that you've picked Notts County. They're a team that I have to say I think might struggle quite a bit, and it's much to my own sadness and disappointment. The programme before, you know that I am perhaps the greatest Greg Abbott fan in the entire world, beyond his own family. The man, and as he showed at the end of last season, could inspire you know, sick children to find a cure for AIDS, genuinely. And if he and Sean Derry, who's a guy who really is, you know, Mr. Motivator by the seams of it, aren't able to drag everything out of the squad that they've got at Notts County, then nobody will be able to. And you know, what happened at the end of last season, that, you know, the greatest comeback since Lazarus, is testament to that. My view with Notts County is that they've had quite a mixed summer. Some of the players that they brought in, they're quite functional. So Gary Thompson, for example, who wasn't on your list there, I was quite surprised. Liam Noble, I'm not in the majority at Carlisle, but I have to say he's a player I never rated particularly highly, and was actually quite surprised that he ended up in League One. I think Greg is probably the only person in League One who would have taken a punt on Liam Noble. Beyond that, Alan Smith, you know, he didn't really cut it at MK Dons to the extent we hoped. Is Roy Carroll as good a goalkeeper as Bartosz Białkowski? No, he unquestionably isn't. And they've also lost Gary Liddle and Alan Sheehan, who over the last couple of seasons have been, if not their best performance, certainly their most consistent performance. So it's a bit of a mixed bag for me at Notts. I mean, it's a bit of a joker, certainly if you're looking at them to be in and around the playoffs. But certainly I can see your rationale. MK Dons, certainly there's a much stronger argument there. The signings that you've listed, Danny Green and Carl McFadden, are both excellent League One players. So I can see a case for them. The big moot point for me around MK Dons for this season, and I mentioned this in the preview for those who haven't read it, is around Carl Robinson. You know, how long now has Carl Robinson been, according to Pete Winkelmann, the best young manager in England? It's been 4 or 5 years, and frankly, there's been so much money spent down at that club over the last 4 or 5 years, it's obscene. He's certainly a very patient man, Pete Winkelmann, and I think it's sort of, for me, the make or break season for Carl Robinson. And if he can't get them through with the likes of Dele Alli and Danny Green in the side, then I think it might be curtains for him before the end of the season.
Time to deliver then, I think, for Carl Robinson at MK Dons. In terms of the four sides that went up from League 2 last season, Scunthorpe United, they've lost their top scorer Sam Winnell. Chesterfield, who won the title last season, Rochdale have gone up, and Fleetwood Town have gone up as well. Mark, any of those four take your fancy to, I don't know, maybe cause an upset getting the playoffs, or do you think they're all going to be down there struggling?
I think it's probably going to be similar to last season. I think they'll probably all consolidate. I don't think no one's going to go up. Fleetwood potentially could be on the way back down. I think it was, what was it, their fifth promotion in 10 years. They succeeded, or 6 in 10, something ridiculous like that. Graham Alexander, I think, you know, he had his doubts last season. He had a squad full of quality, and they sort of struggled. They weren't exactly impressive in the playoffs against York, so they were quite fortunate to go up. And I think they'll bemoan a lack of firepower up front. I mean, Anthony Sarcevic, it's all built around him, and if teams work that out, then they could be in trouble. I think they only won one home game as well last season against the top 10, so a couple of problems there. I think Chesterfield have got to deal with their budget being consolidated or even cut, but I think they've still got plenty of quality in sort of Gary Roberts, Jimmy Ryan, Joe O'Shea, Sam Morsey, Owen Doyle. I think there's players there who are League One standard, so I think they'll be fine. Scunthorpe are interesting though, 12-1 to get promoted. Of course, that 28 game run under Russ Wilcox, where they were unbeaten after he took charge. Quite a lot of optimism around the club. New stadium has been agreed for £18 million. Drew a lot of games though last season, 21 games were drawn. And if they can't replace Sam Winnell's 23 goals, then they could be struggling. But you look at the strike force of Paddy Madden and Dion Burton, it's good enough for that league. Neil Bishop, Jenison Myrie-Williams, Miguel Lera, Miles Addison, they're all good players that they've brought in. So, yeah, I think they'll be fine. Slight concerns for Rochdale, though. Again, of course, they've lost Scott Hogan for $750,000 to Brentford, scored 17 goals last season. Calvin Andrews has been brought in, 27 now, only scored 13 league goals, which is obviously a concern.
That's ever, Ian by Henderson, the way.
Not just last season, that is ever. I saw
really?
The excellent, I think it was Football Clichés, I think, tweet about him when he signed for Rochdale, saying, basically asking the question whether he might have one of the worst goal records for a striker in Football League history. 228 games, and according to Wikipedia, actually 17, this might be some cup games in there as well, 17 goals in 228 career appearances, which I've just worked out very roughly is 0.07 goals a game.
Bodes well, doesn't it? What about the...
Sorry, can I just...
Go on, yeah, go ahead.
Add something in there. What Mark's saying pretty much reflects where I ended up as well. The one point that I think is, I think of the four that Scunthorpe probably have the best chance of any of causing an impression on the league this year. As a Carlisle fan, I think the big question is how they manage Paddy Madden, because what's become apparent over the last two or three seasons is that he's a guy who clearly needs his ego stroked. That wasn't happening at Carlisle, it happened at Yeovil, and you know, we all know what happened. They had the fairy tale story and went into the Championship. When he took the step up in quality, he was found a little bit wanting and his attitude didn't respond. Whether Russ Wilcox has the smarts to get that guy into the place that you need him to be, because he's clearly got a lot of ability, he showed it at Carlisle in flashes as well as at Yeovil, is the big question. Because if he can, they Sam will like that, and they'll surprise a lot of people, but it's a big if.
Okay, let's read some tweets out. Ryan Kehoe says, teams to go up from League One: Sheffield United, Peterborough and Orient, Colchester Crewe, Gillingham and Rochdale to go down, Assombalonga to be top scorer, my team Bradford to finish between 11th and 15th. Steve Donaldson, I'm liking Port Vale's business this summer. Lines O'Connor, Brian Jennings are a fantastic set of options for us in midfield. What else have we got here? Scrolls up. Lee Clifton, I think my club Gillingham will surprise a few people this season. Promotion is a bit unrealistic, but mid-table is achievable. Ian Parks, I think Sheffield United will do okay. Should finally get promoted back to the Championship. Can't see past Baldock for top scorer again. And we've got a tweet here from Josh Boker, who's an Oldham fan. He says, I've got blind faith in us. Johnson Clark-Harris has been prolific in pre-season and looks likely to be our main striker. And I thought I'd mention Oldham, Mark, so that you could give your stat about Oldham.
Oldham, yeah.
Was it 18 years?
Going through League One the other night, and I found that it's their 18th consecutive season in League One, which is actually the longest continuous, how would you describe it?
sequence?
Seasons in one division, sequence of all the Football League teams.
18 years. Not one promotion, not one relegation.
18 years of utter mediocrity.
I don't think they've even...
You'd almost fancy a couple of relegations, wouldn't you? Just so you could have a promotion season maybe going back the other way.
Yeah.
A lot of Carlisle fans said that before we went down, and then they immediately said that they thought that was a stupid thing to do.
We'll do top scorer in just a second, but first, the three teams that came down from the Championship, Barnsley, Yeovil and Doncaster. Anyone for any of them this season?
I'd chip in on Doncaster if possible, because I think they've been massively overrated in the betting markets. They're 21 to win the league. I'm much rather the 16 to 1 on them getting relegated. I'm not saying they will, but I do think they will struggle. You can get 9 to 4 on them to finish in the bottom half. Of course, the sort of takeover between John Ryan and Louis Tomlinson didn't materialise, and I think Paul Dickoff has been playing catch up with his budget. Less than half of what he expected at the start of the summer. They ended the season badly with 1 point from 21, only scored 39 goals. Chris Brown, of course, left. Billy Painter's left. Billy Sharp's loan's gone. Mark Duffy, David Cottrell. A lot of good players have left there. And, you know, if Theo Robinson and Nathan Tyson don't strike up a quick partnership up front, they could be struggling. I think they're massively overrated in the outright markets, at least.
It's like they're going to be...
I would totally agree with that. I had them in a similar bracket. I also think that the overrating of Dickov as a manager is a huge extension to that. I mean, it was one of those moments at the end of last season where I'm sure a lot of fans around the country all collectively gasped when they saw that pretend football manager Lee Clark had managed to keep Birmingham City in the league, and then let out a Bronx cheer when they found out that actually Paul Dickov was the fourth.
What's your Twitter handle, John? Just for the complaints.
Yeah, well, I've said that in the previous. I'm sure they'll be coming my way. I'm not a fan of Dickov at all, but I think their chances are really slight. And I would say it's probably the same for all of the relegated clubs. Of the three, I think Barnsley have probably the best chance because they've got Dale Jennings. Although they've lost Chris O'Grady and Jason Steele, they've managed to replace them quite capably through in Sam Winnell and in various other players that they've got in. Wilson is a manager who knows the League One level better than most and will certainly get the best out of the squad. Yeovil, again, I mean, that when it came down, I mean, they finished rock bottom last season, upset people. But their side, if you look at it on paper, it doesn't even look like a deep side, let alone a Championship side. And they haven't really lost many players in falling through the leagues. They signed one or two decent players. I mean, James Barrett is a player who I had an awful lot of time for at Carlisle. He's a really good player. But again, he's solid. He's a solid League One player. And it'll be a season of consolidation at best, I imagine, for Yeovil.
And Mark, as we did yesterday with League Two, it's time for your top three value bets for League One.
Crawley to be relegated. I think 4-1 has a nice price on that. I mentioned Doncaster and Orient in different breaths, and you can get 10-11 on Leighton Orient to beat Doncaster in a match bet, which I think is an absolute steal. Probably have to, it's odds on, but anyway, it's a definite steal, as is Preston to finish in the top six at 9-10, nearly even money there. Doncaster to go down at 16-1, that's a nice big price.
And just one name from the pair of you for a top scorer, just realised we haven't done that. John, who do you reckon top scorer?
It's dependent on the next week, but Sam Baldock, and if not, Joe Garner.
Okay, Mark?
The same as Baldock if he stays, otherwise Brutus Umbalonga.
Excellent. Okie dokie. Thank you very much to John McGee, who's written the Two Unfortunates League One preview, which you can read on the website, thetwounfortunates.com. Thanks for coming on, John. Much appreciated.
Cheers,
and also thank you very much, as ever, to our Football League betting expert, Mr. Mark O'Hare. And Mark, you're going to be back for one final time with us tomorrow, I believe, when we look at the Championship.
Yep, look forward to it. Cheers,
good
guys.
Stuff. Thanks, mate. So that's Mark and John and DC in just a second. It's time to put your neck on the line. Because
I didn't get a chance to do my One Direction pun there.
What was your One Direction pun?
John cut me off in my prime. I was going to say, it looks like Doncaster are going to be going in the wrong direction this season. But
there you go.
No point now, is there?
You got it in. Predictions next.
We are going up's League One preview. Predictions.
I could see your frustration when you couldn't get that One Direction line in originally and he cut you off in your prime. Right, you over it? You ready?
I am
here
ready.
Here we go. Predictions time for League One then. I went first yesterday, so you get the honour today. From you, I need the three sides that are going to be promoted to the Championship this season.
I'm afraid I am playing it somewhat safe thus far of all my predictions. That may change later on. But the three teams going up from League One, I can't see past Leyton Orient, Preston and Bristol City. All three teams have had, you know, certainly Orient and Preston, really good seasons last year. Bristol City, an improving season towards the end, and they've all added to their squads well. So I think they'll be too strong.
OK, I am going for Preston, Sheffield United and Barnsley. I'm going to throw Barnsley into the mix there. A little bit of a Yorkshire double. And Carl asked me to pass on his predictions. Preston, Sheffield United and Peterborough. So we're all sort of singing from the same hymn sheet there. So we also need four teams to be relegated to the bottom tier of English football in this forthcoming season. DC.
Crewe.
Crewe.
Yep, I think they're going to go this time. Colchester. Rochdale. You can't get rid of Scott Hogan and replace him with Calvin Andrews, as we discussed earlier on, and hope to have any sort of success. And fourth one, I don't know if this might be a surprise, but I think after a couple of years of punching well above their weight, I think Walsall might slip.
Interesting. I'm with you. I had Crewe and Colchester. Obviously, contractually, I had to go for Rochdale. But I agree, losing Scott Hogan will be a big blow to them, no matter what their fans try and say. And for the fourth team, I am going to go for Scunthorpe, because they're another team I think tend to yo-yo between the bottom two divisions. So Scunny for me. So we need a top scorer. Where's your money, Walker?
Well, it does depend. I have to kind of go with what John and Mark said. You can't look past British Sombolonga or Sam Bulldog. But like I did last season when I bet on Lee Tomlin, either of these players could be sold in August or if not January. So you're not sure. I'm not sure that you're betting-wise it's going to be a good bet to do. Although I think, you know, they will certainly score the goals for their team if they remain there. So let's just get rid of those two on that proviso. And I'm going to go with Sam Winnall to continue his goal-scoring form from last season, moving up to Barnsley. And I think he'll have a good season.
OK, top scorer, I've got Joe Garner. From Preston, because I think they're going to be champions this season. So I'm going to go with
scorer of good goals, not always a scorer of loads of goals.
Time will be the judge, won't it? The next 9 months will tell us. My one to watch, actually, you've kind of stole my thunder there by putting him as top scorer, so it's not really much of one to watch. But I was going to say League Two's top scorer from last season, Sam Winnall, who's gone to Barnsley. So he was my one to watch.
Who have you got? I did mention him earlier on. I think Zeli Ismail, Notts County now, had a spell at Burton last year on loan. Looked like he could have changed the game in the player final if he'd been brought on a bit earlier. He's got some pace. And I think he'll have another good season in his development.
Good stuff. It does help when your goalkeeper doesn't let 40-yard free kicks drop on top of him.
Does, yeah.
Right, that is pretty much it for our League One preview. League One starts live on Sky Saturday lunchtime. That big game, Sheffield United against Bristol City. Thank you very much to all our guests today. James Shield from the Sheffield Star, who was on top form, and also to John McGee, who isn't a fan of Paul Dickov. We learned that today. And also, as ever, to Mark O'Hare. He'll be back with us.
And to the Coventry fans, whose names I actually neglected to get.
Yeah, I think they actually tweeted us. So I could really
score.
Yeah, they did, and said, you've just interviewed us at the game. When is it going to be? I'm scrolling back desperately here, but I'm not sure I'm going to make it. Bear with me. Phil, can you fill for 10 seconds? Hang on. Coventry. It's not happening here, is it? Not happening. No, we didn't get your names, lads. Sorry, but we'll
find them.
We'll send you the link. So that's that for today. We'll be back tomorrow with our championship preview, the final one. If you do want to get in touch, the website wearegoingup.co.uk, or you can tweet us at Wagyu Podcast. Tomorrow on this show, you will hear from the Millwall manager, Mr. Ian Holloway. So you've got that to look forward to tomorrow. We'll speak to you tomorrow for the championship.
This is the We Are Going Up Podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.